WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We'll get right to it. The next hour until 10 o'clock, Wes Moss here, your host of Money Matters. Ryan Ely here right next door. Right next to me, logging in. And as I'm walking out this morning, we're eating breakfast, we're coming out, the kids are running around. Lynn goes, people do not want to hear from you today. They want to talk about Georgia football. That game was awesome. And nobody wants to listen to your stuff. I think that's what she said so nicely this morning. And I thought to myself, yeah, you're probably right. But we've got an hour, and you're going to hear about Georgia football all day, all weekend, which is awesome. But we're talking about what makes the money go round is the world. Actually, it's what makes the world go round. We'll talk about money just for an hour. And we're going to talk about this dramatic shift. I mean, this is a big, big shift we have seen in the last couple of weeks. And I haven't pointed it out just yet, but it's a dramatic shift in just the last couple of weeks. Call it the September trade wind shift that you haven't really heard about, or we haven't really talked about. You haven't heard this in the big, big mainstream media just yet. And we're going to talk about it today because we've got a lot of eyes in Washington. We've got a lot of friends in the White House and folks that are just have the pulse on trade, which is, again, what impacts the world this year, the stock market? What has been influencing your 401k in 2019? The answer is trade. Yes, of course, Federal Reserve policy, arguably number one all year, though, trade. Here we are. We have a Saudi drone strike, largest oil supply disruption in the history of the world, and market down 0.5% on the S&P 500. Yes, oil spiked. Saudi said, hey, we're going to get this thing back up and running by the end of September. Oil prices, I say, recovered in a good way. So oil prices spiked almost 15% for just a short period of time. Yes, they ended the week higher, but that moderated it. So all these things happening around the world. Drone strikes, oil, the largest oil supply disruption we have ever seen. So more than if you look at a chart, Saudi drone strike is number one. Second, Iranian Revolution. Third, Arab-Israeli War and the oil embargo, 1973-74. So what just happened last weekend is bigger than that. The outbreak of Iran-Iraq War, 1980-81. The drone strike, way bigger than that. The Venezuelan strike of 2002, Saudi drone strike, almost three times larger disruption. Yet here we are, markets down 0.5%. What moved the markets the most this week? Just the news that the Chinese coming here to meet with farmers in Montana, that trip got canceled. Wham, market's down 100 points. So trade still is everything to this market. The Cold War with China is still so influential in what's happening right now for stocks. And we've seen a huge shift in the trade battle. And it's not just China, but it's also Canada, Mexico, Japan, Europe. And it's high time we give an update on that. So that's what we're talking about today, this dramatic shift. So what was the shift in trade policy? Wes, what was it? What caused it? And then what does it mean? Well, here we go. And by the way, we're live here this morning. It's Sunday morning. We have a whole hour. Happy to take your calls and questions as well. The number here in the studio, Ryan is ready to take your call. He's excited to take your call. 404-872-0750. And we'll get to your financial questions as well. So I'm going through trade. Call Ryan. Talk about your questions. We'll get them through in a latter part of the show. Again, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. The better part of the year, these trade negotiations, it's all been, who's been driving the bus? Yes, of course, it's been Trump. We know he's the front guy. He's the one that tweets. But who's been the main influence in the president's ear? Well, the answer for the better part of this whole trade fight, which is not just this year, but the last really year and a half, it's been Lighthizer. He's the U.S. Trade Representative, and he's had a huge influence on what the president has been doing and how he has been taking on this great negotiation. Lighthizer is as strong as a bull on trade. He wants a perfect deal. He doesn't want to have any, he wants exactly what he wants out of a China deal. Next up, John Bolton. John Bolton, until only a couple weeks ago, until 2 weeks ago, was Trump's national security advisor, who has been making trade not about the economy as much, but about national security. Bolton wants a deal that is good for national security. Hey, we don't like Huawei. What are they doing? Huawei from China is a national security threat. Intellectual property. He wants free and open markets, free and open trade. Listen, that's a good fight to fight. It's a good fight from Bolton. But something changed in the last 2 weeks. Something massively important changed. Bolton, and by the way, what happened? Bolton resigned. Bolton's out. Why? What happened? And the fight over trade has taken a turn. It's taken a big turn in what they are focusing on in the trade fight in the White House. Up until about 2 weeks ago, the hawks on national security have had they've had the president's ear. The hawks on national security, they've had the president's ear. Who has the president's ear right now? As of about 2 weeks ago, it's the economics team. It's the economy hawks that are now in Trump's ear and now back in control. And here's why. By the way, this is one of my favorite examples I've seen of economic data that moves everything. It moves markets. It moves the economy. Well, it is the economy. It moves markets. It moves policy. It moves politics. Here's the power of economic data. And I think this is the economic data that I'm about to share with you. I think they woke up the White House. Hey, there's an election coming up, and we all know this. But what's the data? What is this chart? What's the data I speak of? Well, the title of this economic data piece is The Change in Jobs in Key Swing Election States. More formally, the title of this is A Percentage Change in Employment in States with 10% less margin, 10% or less margin in the 2016 election. These are the states, these are the key states that Trump won that allowed him to win the election by an ever so slight margin, very narrow margin. So if you go back and look at these states, what are they? Well, Pennsylvania is one of them, 20 electoral college votes. Wisconsin is another, 10 electoral college votes. Michigan, 16 electoral college votes. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. We all know that those are the key states that Trump won that most political advisors and pundits said he had no chance to win, which, by the way, he won. And that is a big part of why he's in the White House. What has happened, though, in those states over the last 3 to 6 months? What's happened to those states? Punchline here. Employment has contracted. Employment going in the wrong direction in those key states. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. This is from the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. You start charting out employment growth or decline state by state by state. You look at those key states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, it's going the wrong way. It's negative. It's been negative over the last 3 or 6 months. Now, take a look at Texas and Florida and Georgia. Look at those states. Well, the employment there looks amazing. Growing anywhere from almost 0.5% right now at an annual clip to over 1.5% in an annual clip. Texas, Florida, Georgia. The economy in those states are doing really well. What happens in states that are losing jobs, especially states that were already close? They were already a narrow margin for the president. Well, the White House and Trump looks at this and they say, wait a minute. If we keep grinding out this trade fight and we continue to dig this hole and we continue to push more and more tariffs, which we all know, they know, is not necessarily the best thing for the economy. Yes, long term, absolutely a fight worth having. Absolutely, we want free and open trade. Absolutely, is China an awful trading partner that completely takes advantage of us. But the fight itself to get to where we want to be, it's tough on the economy. Those tariffs, we pay those as Americans. It slows down trade. It's more money out of our pockets. If we're buying goods with a 25% tariff on it, it's a tax. Anybody will tell you that. That's widely agreed upon. So getting to a trade deal is difficult for the economy. And the White House knows that. The White House is saying, okay, wait a minute. We keep grinding this thing out. Then these industrial states that really care about trade, they're going to continue to get squeezed. They're going to continue to get hurt. And these are the states at the epicenter of the trade war. And by the way, these are the states that the White House needs to get reelected. 2 to 3 weeks ago, national security hawks were in charge. Then Bolton's out, the primary national security hawk. Who's in charge now? The economics team. We have gone now from Bolton and Lighthizer to Kudlow and Mnuchin. That's who's in the president's ear now. It's the economics team that's back in charge. Because they're looking at this and they're saying, hey, we were trying to get a perfect deal. We're going to try to get this fight. We're going to take this fight all the way to the election. Now it's, hey, let's do some sort of deal, Mr. President. Let's just do some sort of deal and at least work towards de-escalating this issue with China. And in the meantime, let's get back to doing deals with Canada and Mexico, and let's do a deal with Japan. And that, my friends, is what's happening right now. We have had a massive shift in sentiment coming from Washington, going from we're going to grind this thing out 100% until we get the perfect deal, to saying, wait a minute, the trade issue, we don't have a deal yet with USMCA, NAFTA 2.0, Canada, Mexico. We technically, we're going to talk about the deal where we've announced a skeleton of a deal with Japan. But these, remember we talked about earlier in the year, we knew the president couldn't fight a global trade war. You can't fight and win if you're fighting directly with EU, directly with Canada, directly with Mexico, directly with China on all fronts. We've got to isolate this trade war and win in some of these places so that we can effectively make the whole thing move forward. And we're back to that. And we're going to talk about that when we get back. We've got to run to quick news weather. As soon as we get down to news weather, we'll come back. We're talking about the key trade wind shift that we've seen only in the last couple weeks here. And it's impacting markets in a good way. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Right to it. How's this trade war and the shift that has just been happening over the last couple weeks, how's it impacting stocks? Well, let's take a look at a chart. Take a look at a chart of the S&P 500. Go to August 23rd, 2019. The S&P 500 is up 5% since August 23rd. That's it. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks, and here we are up 5%, and that's with last week's small decline in the S&P 500. Both sides are starting to see the light that agreement, at least a little bit of agreement, maybe in both of their best interests. And that's I'm talking about the United States and Canada, or the United States and China here. But before we went to break, or all year we've been talking about how the president knows he can't go to war, a trade war with all continents, just can't win that one. You solve some of these global trade fights, which makes the Chinese trade fight doable. So now we're starting to see agreement, and the White House is realizing, hey, look, we've got some rough economic numbers in states that really care about trade. We've got states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, they care about trade. Well, what helps to solve economic issues in those states? How about let's go back and do that deal we talked about earlier in the year with Canada and Mexico? Let's do a deal with Japan. And that, my friends, is what's happening right now. So Japan and the United States, they've just announced that they have a framework for a trade deal. A pause on auto tariffs. Japan's now removing most of their tariffs on our beef and our pork, aka great for U.S. farmers. Lower tariffs on wine. Even digital trade now with Japan. A free and flowing data agreement across borders between the United States and Japan. A lot of these deal points that are supposedly going to be officially announced, not yet, in the next couple of weeks, are similar to the old TPP and the upcoming USMCA, the United States, Mexico, and Canada agreement. Speaking of USMCA, what is the administration trying to do here? Make sure the economy is in great shape heading into the election year. Let's talk about some historical election stats when it comes to the economy. Since the Civil War, only one president has won re-election with a recession occurring in the final two calendar years of their term. Who was it? William McKinley. You got to go back to the year 1900 to find a president that got reelected that had to deal with a recession. It just doesn't happen. Since then, all four presidents running for reelection who had a recession, they lost too. Taft, Hoover, Carter, George H.W. Bush. You cannot have a recession going into an election if you want to get reelected. And the administration is looking at some of these key battleground states where the trade war is having its biggest negative influence. And they're saying, we got to be really careful about these states. So the policy in Washington has just dramatically shifted to let's fight this thing out to the death to let's start doing some sort of deal. Let's get this moving in the right direction. That's what we're seeing. More Money Matters in the bottom of the half hour straight ahead.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Ryan Ely here, executive producer every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. Today we're 9 to 10 because of Bulldog Brunch, but we're right to it, and we're talking about this just global, this just massive shift in how the administration is really looking at the trade war. We've gone from, somebody showed the president a chart. Somebody showed the president a chart of job growth or lack thereof in the key swing states, bottom line. It's a pretty interesting chart. It shows Texas and Ohio and Pennsylvania, Florida, Wisconsin. And it looks like if you go to the states that have these large electoral college votes that were really close, that Trump won on, by a very narrow margin, a couple of the really important ones are having a rough time economically right now. The United States economy is great. I'd give it a B plus, even A minus at this point. But if you're looking at an election, in a national election that has electoral college and states matter, you got to be concerned if you're the administration about Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. You have to have those economies doing well. Those economies have been hit most by trade. So if you're the president, you're looking at this and you're saying, okay, I understand history. Let's do another economic stat or a political, like an econo-political statistic. Go back in the party in power over the last 19 races. This is a long time. The party in power has lost 13 of them when there was a recession, when you include all presidential elections and not just presidents seeking re-election. We talked about this earlier in the year. We knew that this year was the third year of the presidential cycle. Historically speaking, the third year of the presidential cycle has been critical for markets and the economy. Why? Presidents like to get re-elected. And leaders figured out a long time ago that a strong economy is a powerful campaign tool. Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's finished up in the third year of a president's first term in all but one instance. In the past 8 decades, President Trump, he gets it. He wants to get reelected. Biggest thorn in the side for this economy and the difference between a 2% economy and a 3% or maybe even 4% economy has to do with trade. So that's what's been happening, is that we're starting to, the administration's saying, look, okay, there's not enough time to keep this thing at a stalemate. We've got to make some progress on trade. What is another treasure chest when it comes to stimulating jobs and the economy? Trade with Canada, trade with Mexico. And guess what? The odds for a deal on NAFTA 2.0, it's also called the USMCA, remember the United States-Canada trade agreement? Even Nancy Pelosi, the head of the Democratic Congress, is on board with getting USMCA passed. United States, Mexico, Canada agreement. She was on Mad Money this week with Jim Cramer, talking about how she wants to get a trade deal done with Mexico and Canada. Just in the past week, in politics, newsflash, Pelosi has said the following. One, she does not want to impeach President Trump. She does not want it. She doesn't want to, doesn't even want to go down that road. Number two, she wants to get to yes on NAFTA 2.0. Even Nancy Pelosi. And by the way, Pelosi, everyone's getting close to the electric fence here. Everyone's getting close to the fence because, and what's the electric fence? The election next year. Pelosi needs a trade deal with USMCA, maybe even more than the president. Her constituents in the House, they're facing re-election as well. Democrats in districts around New Jersey and California and Virginia and Michigan and Rhode Island. Trump does not want a recession. Pelosi, you can argue this all day. And I'm not even going to say if she wants one or not. But we know that Trump doesn't want a recession. He can't afford even a whiff of recession, particularly in those battleground states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Someone showed the president this jobs chart I'm talking about from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, state by state. And I think he realized that it's time to start listening to his buddy, Larry Kudlow. And by the way, Larry Kudlow, Trump's main economic counsel, is the king of economic stimulus. Wall Street calls it the Kudlow put, by the way. Put as in markets go down, Kudlow comes in, saves the day. He wants economic stimulus. He wants the USMCA, NAFTA 2.0. He wants a deal with Japan that we just talked about. And he wants he's the one pushing for the indexing of capital gains to actually make the capital gain tax have less bite. Now, let's talk about how much impact this is having on China. And I know we've got some calls on hold. I want to go to the phones, at least take a call or two today. So let's have a break in this rant, and I've got to calm down a little bit here as I've realized that we've had this big shift, and I wanted to share this with you today. And again, by the way, this shift has been good for stocks. I mean, bottom line here, we've seen stocks go up 5% in the last couple of weeks as the trade winds have shifted from, hey, we're at a stalemate with China to, hey, let's start doing some deals here. Let's do a deal with Japan. Let's do a deal with Canada and Mexico. We're getting closer and closer to that, even though that deal started to look like it was gone. It's not gone anymore. And then let's de-escalate. Let's not ratchet up the trade war with China. Let's wind it down. Let's start to get to some agreements. And the president, you know, over the last couple of weeks even used the term, hey, let's maybe do an interim deal. Now, these are words of de-escalation. These are words of, hey, let's just do a little, let's have some progress here, because we, in the end here, we don't need a recession in key battleground states. That's what the president's saying. So I do want to go to the phones here. Your questions, you've been thinking about something all week and you haven't called into the show, and you just want to get our opinion on it, whether you talk to Ryan about it or me about it here on a Sunday morning. What's a good direction for you to go on a financial decision that's been plaguing you a little bit? Maybe it's a pension question or a 401k question at work, or, hey, I'm about to retire and I'm getting these different options from my employer. Maybe it's 401k or a 403b, or it's the thrift savings plan, the TSP plan, or you're a teacher and you've got some financial questions. We're happy to go over some of those options and give you some what we think, or we like to believe, is the most objective advice we could humanly possibly do here on a Sunday morning. We love to do that. And if you don't get through to this morning, you can find us throughout the week at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. But for now, this Sunday morning, before we head to talk about football in the 10 o'clock hour, the number here in the studio is 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio. 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK, 800, which would be 800-972-8255. We'll go to the phones in a minute here. But Trump doesn't want a recession. Kudlow's back in his year. And you're starting to really see, and this is a question I've had all year long. You hear one side says China can wait this war out, this trade war out, because they think over the 100 years and we only think over 4-year election cycles. And that's a good argument to say that China can wait us out. But the reality here, the more I really look into this and I get different viewpoints from different economists, China really is hurting. this trade deal is really, really hurting China. If you look at a chart on how trade with all of our major trading partners has changed over the last 12 months, it's probably the most interesting chart I've seen all year. We have dropped. So if you just line up China and Australia and Canada, Germany, Italy, United Kingdom, Japan, India, Vietnam, South Korea, Mexico. If you line everybody up, you'll see on the far left of this chart, a big red negative bar chart that shows that our trade over the last 12 months with China has dropped like a rock. It's dropped $54 billion worth of trade has gone away with the United States and China. That's over the last just 12 months. And then it's increased with all the other countries I just mentioned. It's increased massively with Japan and Taiwan and Vietnam and South Korea and Netherlands and Mexico. In fact, we've reduced trade with China by $54 billion. During that same period of time, we've increased trade with those other trading partners by almost $150 billion. $150 billion minus 54 in China. So you think about the economists that are saying that none of these moves by the administration are really doing anything and China can wait us out. There are very real economic events happening where people and companies are shifting away from China until some sort of deal gets done. Now, can they withstand it? I don't know. They are clinging. China is clinging on to 6% GDP growth. It's the slowest in 30 years. And it's likely to break below that level. There are a lot of estimates that are showing that are 5.5% growth, GDP growth in China. Below 6%. Here's the deal. Below 6%, and they're not going to have enough jobs in the cities in China to take on the urban migration that they've been seeing for the last several decades. People are moving from rural areas of China. Hey, I can go make more money for my family in the cities. There's plenty of jobs. That migration has been the economic story of China for three decades now. Below 6%, guess what? There are no more new jobs in the big city. Moving from rural China slows down or maybe it even stops. So yes, in many ways, the Chinese economy is hurting. They can't or they won't roll over completely on all their laws and how they do business. They're not going to do a 180 and do everything we want them to do when it comes to a trade deal. But it looks like both sides, and I've been using this analogy, heavyweight boxers all year, just back and forth hitting each other. Heavyweight boxers, U.S., Canada, both corners. They've started to inflict enough pain now on each other. So call it sub 6% growth in China coming. And wait a minute. The economy may not be quite good enough to get reelected. That's pain. It's economic, it's political pain. That they both said, okay, that's enough. Let's stop making this worse and let's start making this a little better. And I think that's where we are right now. So bottom line, both sides are starting to see that, hey, a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, a little bit of agreement may be best for both of us. And the market likes it. Up almost 5% since the White House has brought the economy back into focus. And guess what? That's what elections are all about. We'll go to the phones here. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chris in Dawsonville. Chris, you still with us?
How you doing? Yes, sir. I sure am.
What's going on, man? Well, how can I help?
I wanted to say I appreciate you always. Thank you and thank Ryan. I'm assuming he answered the call.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy listening to you. So when I heard your intro this morning, it was neat because I'm sitting there thinking, oh, cool. I'm excited to hear about, you know, what Wes has to say today. And then you gave the intro about hearing Georgia football, which is exciting. So it kind of made me get a good laugh. But my thoughts are I see a lot of folks that have, how do we get folks to have as much interest and as much belief in our stock market and in our system that works and builds business as they do in the Georgia Lottery, which is a great thing for school. How do we equal out that interest?
You know, I think it's, I mean, you've probably touched on in that question, Chris, the central argument that comes down to every political election in the country, every single time an election cycle comes up, because it really comes back to education. And it comes back to the belief in America. And it comes back to, and this is what makes investing so hard, is that it's so emotional. There's so many variables that weigh on why you think we're going to have a good year or a bad year. And I think that's a big part of why it's easy to be derailed on believing in the system that we're in, because you look around and you say, well, maybe your economy may not be good. Or maybe you look at the political system and it's against what you believe right now. And you say, well, we can't do well in a political system that is something that I don't agree with. And that happens for both sides. And we're in such a polarized world that I think that polarization bleeds over into how we think about the future. And then if you don't believe in the future, you're not going to be a good investor. So you turn away from the market and the economy and say, hey, I'm just going to buy a lottery ticket, which we all know it doesn't work for the 99.999% of folks. We got to run to quick weather traffic. We're going to come back. More Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, Ryan Ealy. You can find us at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Straight ahead. Usually I have some of the kids in the studio, because we're only on for an hour today, I didn't do it. But I did just post something on Instagram from yesterday. Little Sam, my youngest little guy, who's the long hair in the group. We still haven't cut much of his hair, but he's the youngest of the four boys. I just posted something on Instagram. So if you have an iPhone or Android and you're on Instagram, you can find our Instagram page at Wes Moss Money Matters, which is just WESMOSS Money Matters on Instagram. And it really is some pretty funny stuff of these little guys running around. Hey, Ryan, we've got a prize pack, man. What is it?
The weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to Star Wars and More, the music of John Williams with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, September 28th at Ameris Bank Amphitheater in Alpharetta, caller number 5. The tickets are yours.
404-741-0750. Next weekend, which is would be Sunday the 29th. I've got my favorite interview, one of my very favorite interviews of the year. And I think you will love this because it's one of my favorite concepts. And I even modeled part of my book, You Can Retire Sooner Than You Think, around the National Geographic explorer, Dan Buettner, who went around and found the five places in the world where people live the longest and have the happiest general lives. And they're called Blue Zones. And he's been an author I've followed for now over a decade. And I have him on the show next Sunday in the 10 o'clock hour. So don't miss that. You can find the podcast at Wes Moss Money Matters on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. And have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Find us at wesmoss.com throughout the week. Stay tuned to the best program on the planet right here, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.